great to see y'all. After service one Sunday, a guest approached the pastor, asked him if he would pray for his hearing. So the pastor said, sure. So he put his hands out and he put his hands on the man's ears. He began to pray a passionate prayer for his hearing, for God to heal his hearing. And after praying, the pastor looked at the man and said, how do you feel now? How is your hearing now? The man was kind of surprised and looked back at him. He said, well, I don't know. I don't go to court till tomorrow. Be specific about what you pray for. Amen? Amen. If you don't want to pray for snow, don't pray for snow. That's right. All right, welcome to week number 5, our final week in our series called Inside Out. How many of you have enjoyed this series so far? It's a series about how to be an emotionally, mentally healthy, spiritually healthy believer. In this series, we focused on what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all of your minds, and to love God by loving your neighbor as what? Yourself. Amen. We've talked about our emotions. We've talked about knowing ourselves. We've talked about how to deal with depression, about Jesus' model of what healthy self-care looks like. And today I want to close this series out by bringing your attention to one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. It's Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Sometimes you only hear this around Christmas time, but this is such a beautiful verse. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So in this last message here today, I want to talk to you about the Counselor. The Counselor. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. I pray that the word of God would be quick and powerful. Lord, and I pray that you would speak to us, challenge us, encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Bring me some water. Amen. Before I get into this verse, though, I want to just say a few things about counseling in general. Is that all right? The subject of counseling, thank you, is one that has certainly, I think, been misunderstood over the years. Some people have always seen the benefit of counseling, while there's others that thought that as long as you have Jesus, you don't really need anyone or anything else. Amen? Now, the good news is today that I think most people, including most Christians, are seeing the good that counseling can provide and that seeking help from others, it's encouraged, it's not frowned on. Can the church say amen to that? And I'm going to tell you, it's never been more evident than it is today that people need godly counsel. People need godly wisdom in order to proceed confidently and I think successfully through this life. And all throughout this message today, I'm going to affirm that God's word encourages us to seek counsel when we need it, and that getting counsel is, in fact, not only a good idea, it's a God idea. Amen? Amen? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Let me start there. It says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Amen? Look at Proverbs 9 and verse 9. I love this version from the Contemporary English Version. It says, if you have good sense, that's not an automatic, but if you have good sense, instruction will help you to have even better sense. And if you live right, education will help you to know even more. I love these verses. It says, a wise man will hear. And it says, when you're willing to hear, it results in increased learning. It says, a man of understanding will not just get counsel, but he'll get wise counsel. Verse 9 says that if you have good sense, instruction will help you have even better sense. How many of you know what the verse is not saying, too? If you don't have good sense, well, I won't go there. Amen. But counsel. Here's a few more verses for you. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for what? Lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 from the CEV, it says, fools think that they know what is best, but a sensible person, everybody say sensible, a sensible person listens to advice. Proverbs 19 and verse 20, get all the advice and instruction you can. Why? So that you will be wise for the rest of your life. Folks, this is just good Bible stuff here, amen. Counsel. I could go on and on and on and on from the Bible, but I think you get the picture. God's word makes it very clear that wise people, everybody say wise people. Wise people realize that occasionally we need for counsel, educating, advice. We might need assistance from other people. Most people will eventually find themselves in a place where they recognize, man, I need some help, right? But hear me, if you're not there, I want to help you. Let me help you today with this. Some of you might be wondering right now, even after a whole month of this series, why do I need counsel in my life? Well, the truth is that everybody needs counsel. Everybody needs an advisor at some different point in their life. A good writer still needs an editor. Good ball players still need a coach. Matter of fact, they need a team of coaches, right? Good marriages still need small groups and marriage seminars and maybe some marriage counseling from time to time. Good business owners still need mentors and coaching and continuing education. Good Christians still need pastors and spiritual leaders. Good pastors also need pastors and spiritual advisors in their lives as well. See, there's so many things that another person can sometimes see in us and hear in us that can give us tools to help us that we don't always see in ourselves. And there are seasons in life that are harder than others, and there are things that you may go through that are not your normal day-to-day stuff, and that's when you really need to be open to counsel. You especially need to lean into counsel when troubles come or when you're struggling with something, or when you're about to make some big decisions that can affect your life or the lives of other people. Man, come on, decisions have consequences, don't they? So why do we sometimes need counsel? Let me give you three quick reasons. Are you ready? Number one, you don't know what you don't know. I don't want to offend anybody by saying this, but none of us are as smart as we think we are. You're not, and neither am I. And by the way, if you are the smartest person in the room all the time, you need to change rooms. You're hanging out with the wrong people, amen. Because you don't know what you don't know. If you have never raised kids, all the parents are like, oh, is he really going to say it? See, you may have insight into children, but you don't know what it's like to be a parent unless you have been a parent. You know why? You don't know what you don't know. If you have never been married, you don't know what it's like to have marriage problems or what it's like to try to make a marriage work day after day, year after year. I remember in my old life, there was a guy traveling around the country doing marriage seminars, real popular. Everybody loved him, loved him. But I had one really big problem with this guy. He wasn't married. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't need you to tell me how to work on my marriage, and you ain't even got you a wife yet. Because you don't know what you don't know. Folks, if you have never struggled financially, you don't know how hard it can be to live on a budget with limited resources. You don't know how much stressful financial pressure can be put on people's lives when they have more month than they have money. If you don't know, you don't know. If you have never been an addict, you don't know how hard it can be to break the cycle of addiction in your life. Well, why don't they just quit? They got the Holy Ghost. They ought to be able to stop. I'm just telling you, you don't know what you don't know. Some people are able to just quit, but I'm going to just tell you, after years of pastoring, I've learned they are the exception, not the rule. If you don't know, you just don't know. Folks, our knowledge is limited in life. Even our knowledge of God and eternity, it's limited. 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us, right now we see through a glass darkly. Amen? But one day we will see him face to face. Counsel is acknowledging, sometimes I don't know everything I need to know, and it's okay. It's okay to get some advice from somebody who could help me grow in a particular area of my life. See, one of the first signs of real maturity is embracing the fact that I don't know everything, and there's a lot of people who can help me if I'm just willing to ask and if I'm willing to listen. Amen? Here's another reason why you need counsel from time to time. Safety. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. There's safety in counsel. At one time or another, a person is going to need an advisor who can help them with problems and decisions in life. And by the way, folks, it's not that as adults, we can't make decisions about life on our own. We can. Do you remember how liberating it was when you grew out of whatever that, and I've learned that number's not consistent with everybody, when you grew out of being a young teenager or maybe college age and you go into adulthood, and that moment where you cross over the threshold and now you get to make decisions of your own. And man, there's always this season where you ain't listening to nobody. I've finally been set free, I can make decisions. But then you grow up completely and you realize, you know, I still need people to help me. There's safety in counsel. Sometimes you need counsel to help you correctly understand circumstances that you might be in so you can make wise choices about next steps. Good counseling can help you avoid all kinds of problems. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. For example, consider somebody getting ready to start a new business, right? Most business people are entrepreneurs, and they all have one thing in common. They savor the idea of being independent, right? That's part of the entrepreneurial spirit. You don't want to answer to the man, you want to be the man, right? You know? But even independent-minded people benefit from the guidance that comes from associating with other people who can help you and direct you. Let me just give some advice to all you independent-minded people. Personal interdependence on others is far superior to just being personally independent from everybody else. It is. You need other people. Relying on others or bringing people alongside you, it's a much healthier and, I believe, a much more successful way to live your life. Being connected to others and learning from others and listening to others who can help you strengthens every endeavor that you're involved in life. When you work together with other people, it improves every facet of your life. Amen? Your marriage is better when you realize you need your spouse. You need your children. Your job is better when you realize, yeah, I need my boss. I need my fellow workers. Your spiritual life is better when you see the importance of pastors and fellow Christians in your life. Every aspect of life is better because we recognize that we need others. Counsel provides safety. Here's the last one I want to give you before I switch gears. You need another benefit to seeking counsel is direction and growth. Most schools have guidance counselors. Most gyms have personal trainers. If you want to get healthy, you might need to see a doctor or a dietitian. Most CEOs have life coaches. Most pastors have networks of other pastors to help provide direction. In my own life, I'll just give an example from my own life. Anytime I'm facing a big decision here at the church, I can promise you that I wear out my circle of trusted friends and pastors and advisors who have already traveled that path before me. I set meetings up with them. I arrange Zoom calls. I ask them countless questions. I take notes. I have one-on-one meetings. I read books. I read. And then usually I circle back around to them. I consider things that they say worked and didn't work, things that were problems, things that were blessings, things to do, things not to do. And then I take all that direction and all that wisdom and all that counsel and all those notes, and I mash it all together, and I pray about it. And then I talk to our church leaders, and then we proceed when we feel like the Lord gives us a blessing to go forward or not. Amen? You get direction and growth by seeking the counsel and wisdom of other people. Folks, you need to be smart enough to learn from other people's mistakes and their wins. Amen? If you want to grow in an area of personal weakness, whether it's finances, relationships, business knowledge, health, whatever, you need to talk with people who are strong and experienced in the areas that you need help in. If your marriage needs a boost, see a marriage counselor, see a family therapist, or start with another married couple in the church or that you know, that you respect and that you trust. Amen? If your finances are struggling, talk to somebody who can help you with your finances. Talk to someone who knows what they're talking about. You say, well, man, that's awful humbling. Well, so is being broke. So is filing bankruptcy. Talk to somebody that can help you, amen. If your health is a wreck, go see the doctor or a nutritionist and get some wisdom spoken over you so you can move on with next steps. What am I trying to say? Don't be that person that can't grow past where they are because you're too proud to ask for help. Is that good? Come on. God's plan has always been for us to grow, to become mature, and to disciple others. So where can I find good counsel? And if Jesus is the counselor, why do I need anybody else? I'm going to tell you why. Are you ready? Because Jesus speaks to us, not just in our prayer time, not just in our times of worship, not just through the sermon that you're hearing right now or the Bible that you read this morning or you're going to read tonight before you go to bed. Amen. He also speaks to us through Christian counselors and therapists, through pastors and small group leaders, through friends who have proven through the fruit of their lives that they can be trusted, through business professionals that can help you with your business, through marriage therapists that can help you with your marriage, through financial advisors that can help you with your money, through grief counselors that can help you with your grief. It's kind of like the old joke, most of you have heard it. Guy was in a flood. His house was flooding. Water levels were rising. It was raising quickly. Finally, he had to climb up onto the top of his roof, and he kept praying, Lord, 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 please save me. Please save me. So he's up there on the roof, and all of a sudden, a few minutes later, a guy comes floating by in a canoe, and he says, hey, jump down. Get in. Get in. The guy goes, hey, thanks, man, but I'm just waiting for the Lord to save me. So the canoe floats right on by. 10 minutes later, a guy in a John boat comes by, and he goes, hey, jump down from there. I can save you. You can come with me. Guy goes, hey, thanks anyway, but the Lord told me he was going to save me. Go help somebody else. 15 minutes later, a helicopter comes by, and a basket drops down, and the guy on the speaker goes, hey, get inside the basket. And the guy looks up at him, and he goes, my help comes from the Lord. And the helicopter flies off. Guess what? Waters rise, man drowns, and he wakes up in heaven and he's mad. Lord, I thought you said you were going to help me. And the Lord looks at him and he said, I tried. I sent you a canoe, I sent you a jumbo, and I sent you a helicopter. You see, folks, some of us are drowning while we watch the canoe go by, the John boat go by, and we wave off the helicopter. See, because we can't receive the message because we don't want to receive the messenger. We don't recognize that sometimes what I need will come from sources that I'm not accustomed to. Jesus is the counselor, but guess what? I wish I had a tool belt on right now. He's got a lot of tools in his pocket that he uses to help us. So now, with all that said, foundation built, let's dig into our text. Put it up there for him again, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. I want you to read this last sentence with me. I love this verse. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Woo! Isaiah 9 and 6 is a monumental piece of scripture. not just because of its prophetic description of the coming of Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry, but this passage tells us not just about his birth, but about his nature. And the many different roles that he plays in the lives of believers, amen. This verse encapsulates the very essence of Jesus' mission and the characteristics that he embodies. Look at the titles that are given to Jesus here. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Some of you ought to get excited about that, amen. Prince of Peace. These things transcend human leadership. They point directly to his divinity. It speaks of Jesus as Wonderful Counselor. And it's translated in your Bible, depending upon what Bible you're reading. It might say Wonderful Counselor or Wonderful, Counselor. By the way, those punctuations, those commas, they weren't present in the original text. So modern translators, they put those things in there to help us understand what's being said. But that Hebrew word for wonderful in this context, it doesn't mean just like, oh, that was a wonderful song that they played today. Or man, that was a wonderful greeting that I got in the lobby. No. It means beyond human comprehension. That's what he is. Not just extraordinarily good in a casual sense, but wonder and beyond comprehension. But it's that next descriptive noun that is what has kept me and sustained me personally for over 40 years of living for Jesus. Jesus as our counselor. Hallelujah. Isaiah said it again in Isaiah 28, 29 when he described the Lord, and he said this. He said, he is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. In other words, he has wisdom beyond our human capabilities. Hear me, folks. The most important source that you can ever go to for counsel is the counselor. Somebody ought to give him a praise for that. In our efforts to embrace counseling and therapy and coaching and advising, amen, I want to make sure that as believers, we remember something important. If you're going to seek solutions and answers to life's problems, if you're going to do it, don't do it without considering God and his word and the truths that are found in the Bible. Because if you go outside of that, it's not going to lead to blessings. It's going to lead to confusion and chaos in your life. Remember Proverbs 1 and 5, it says, a man of understanding seeks wise counsel. And if counseling is not inspired by the word of God or has as its foundation godly principles and values, it will not sustain you. I need a stronger amen if you don't want me to park on this street, amen? It won't sustain you. Hear me today. Jesus and his word are still the greatest counselor and comforter that you are ever going to have in your life. The Holy Spirit is the greatest comfort that you're ever going to know. The word of God is still the greatest source of wisdom that this world is ever going to hear from. Jesus was the ultimate model for counselors because he exemplified divine wisdom and human interaction rolled into one. You need them both. That's why you always hear me say, if you're going to go to counseling, find a Christian counselor or a counselor that has a Christian worldview, because you need the divine element and the human element rolled in together. His role as a counselor, Jesus' role as counselor, was not just confined to dispensing out good advice, but Jesus understood us like no one else ever understood us. His dual nature is both divine creator and incarnate Son of God. It's unsurpassed. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus engaged with individuals from all walks of life, and he addressed their spiritual and their emotional and their physical needs. He impacted people, and it didn't matter what the setting was. It might be in the streets. It might be at a wedding. It might be at a funeral. It might be at a well getting a drink of water. The Gospels are full of instances where and showcase Jesus' profound ability to counsel and transform lives. For example, the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. Jesus offered her living water that symbolized eternal life. He didn't address her immediate social and personal issues, and she had them. But he also extended an invitation to a new life. Another example is found in Jesus' response to the woman who was taken in adultery in John chapter 8. Instead of condemning her, Jesus used the situation to teach us principles about grace and redemption and forgiveness. Amen. When Jesus restored the apostle Peter after he denied Jesus in John 21, Jesus reassures Peter of his worth. And you know what he did? He pointed him back to his calling and his purpose. Amen. Every time Jesus ministered to somebody, he didn't just meet their physical need, but he addressed an eternal principle and pointed them toward purpose and plan. Jesus understands human nature, and he always took a compassionate approach to people's individual struggles. Jesus is still the great counselor. He still ministers to people as their counselor through the inner works of the Holy Spirit. He still speaks to us through his word, the Bible. And as I'm going to continue to say throughout this sermon, he also speaks to us through godly pastors and parents and teachers and Christian professional counselors. Folks, it's vital that we understand and embrace the role of Jesus in the work of reconciliation and healing in people's lives. We got to learn and appreciate the real benefit of the wonderful counselor operating in us through other people. Jesus is still the ultimate solution to every problem we face, no matter how tough they might appear to be. Amen? Even when you get help from others in dealing with your problems, don't forget about Jesus. Come on, you've got to include Christ. And I'm just going to tell you from my own life, he's got to be the first place that you go to. My faith in God, my times in prayer, my obedience to the word of God, me allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to flow in my life, that is what has helped sustain me more than anything else in this world. Now, I've had people speak into my life. I've had people give me advice and counsel and wisdom. But at the end of the day, the most important place to start is at the feet of the one who knows you like nobody else knows you. And don't forget the tools that he uses. Much of what Jesus will say to you can come through preaching and teaching. Amen? Right now, what I'm doing right now is the equivalent of wisdom and counsel and guidance to those of you who are receiving. Can I just tell you this? Because I didn't do all the sermons in this series. What we've gotten for the last 5 weeks has been gold. Some of you have gotten therapy for the last 5 weeks and you didn't have to pay a dime for it. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. Because you know what Jesus is doing? Using the tools in the toolbox to speak to us. And I'm going to tell you, folks, anointed preaching can break the yoke of sin off your life if you will listen to it and apply what you hear. Amen? Come on. Much of what Jesus, the counselor, does for us comes through the reading of his word. Come on. Reading your Bible can speak to you, can encourage you, can lead you and guide you. Now, this isn't going to sound as spiritual, but much of what Jesus the counselor does for us happens in everyday conversations in the lobby or in the parking lot of the church. By the way, that's why if you're watching online and you can't be here, we understand, but if you choose not to be here, you need to be in the house. Because there's conversations and interactions and elbow rubbing that happens with the people of God. Tools in the toolbox that God uses to change our life. Can I get a little help from the people that showed up today? Amen. It's true. The counselor will sometimes speak to you in the living room of your small group meeting. He will speak to you in the coffee shop with the people in your small group. He will speak to you with the guys that you hang out with at the golf course. He'll speak to you. See, you just got to be listening. See, much of what the counselor does for us can be through the Spirit's ministry to us and within us. Much of what the counselor can do can be by the operation of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Much of what the counselor does for us comes through your worship playlist riding in your car. Amen. You say, well, I don't have a worship playlist. Well, you need to get you a worship playlist, amen? You need to quit listening to Willie's Roadhouse and get you some elevation, amen? Come on. I've got classic rewinds on mine. Well, you know what? You need some classic Jesus, too. That'll speak to you as well, amen? See, there's something powerful about the tools in the toolbox. Jesus Christ is our wonderful counselor. And he shows up in a lot of different ways if you're ready to listen. Hear me, folks. Jesus is your best counselor because he already knows you like nobody else knows you. Look at John chapter 2, verse 23. Because of the miraculous signs that Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. They saw the show and they were ready. They're like, oh yeah, okay, he's the one. They trusted him. But look at verse 24. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. Poor Jesus, he sounds a little jaded right there, doesn't he? But look at verse 25. No one needed to tell him about human nature. Here it is. Because he already knew what was in each person's heart. If you could Google a counselor that already knew every intimate detail of your heart, you would do one of two things. You would either get on the one-year wait list to go have an appointment with that person, or you would run, Forrest, run. Because you would know, this guy already knows all my business. But Jesus knows what's in every person's heart. He knows your nature. He knows your personality. He knows your emotions. He knows what is in every single one of our hearts. He is able to advise you better than any human being because he is qualified in ways that no human counselor is. The Bible says that in Christ, Colossians 2 and 3, is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, including the knowledge of your human nature. Listen to what David said in Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart, and you what? You know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. And you know what I think that means? Not just distant smiles, but when I'm far away from you. What a counselor. You have examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know my very thoughts. And you love me anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to know what about our counselor? Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. How? He faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. And verse 16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. You know what? I love the paradox of that. In one verse it says he knows all about our weaknesses. And in the very next verse, he says, despite your weaknesses, come boldly. You know why I think you can come boldly before the Lord? Because you can come honestly, you can come vulnerably, you can come with transparency because he already knows your stuff. And so therefore I have no fear to step into his presence because everywhere I am, he already is. So it's not about my physical posture, it's about my emotional and mental connection to say, God, here I am, speak to me. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 says, seek his will in all you do, and what? He will show you which path to take. The counselor. See, we're so quick to seek answers everywhere else. Why don't you start where this verse implores us to start? Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. See, Christ as my counselor means I can be sure he's listening because he told us to pray to him when we have worries. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, look at it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Look at this. Tell God what you need. And thank him for all he has done. I want the praise team musicians to come. The counselor. I got good news for you. Every believer has Jesus. The one who cares for us like no one else cares for us. He is far wiser than the greatest human thinkers of our generations. God has our best interest at heart, and he has a perfect plan for our lives. He knows his sheep by name. But you know what the challenge is? It's for us to learn to recognize his voice. Amen? And as our counselor, he will always give appropriate and timely direction for our lives. And hear me, he will use any and all of his counseling tools that he has in the toolbox. And I wish you could get that word picture in your mind and you could visualize it. And he'll use those things to help you work through your problems. Sometimes all you need to do is listen to God speak in prayer. Anybody testify? There's been times you prayed and you got your answer. Sometimes it's found in the written word of God. Sometimes it's found through the preached word of a pastor. I've always enjoyed it. I've been serving the Lord now for over 40 years, and I've always said, Lord, please, no matter who's preaching, no matter what the subject is, God, speak to me in this. Just even if it's just a little nugget, if it's a crumb, something that I can grow from in this word. And guess what? The counselor speaks to me where I am. It might be through a time of worship when we're singing. Don't just sing, listen for the counselor. Sometimes the counselor will speak in your small group. Sometimes the counselor will speak in the hallway. Sometimes the counselor will speak in a devotion that you read. You know what's part of my devotions in the mornings? Usually, I take a little bit of time, and I've subscribed to some little short devotionals. They're like, some of them are 30-second reads, some of them are 60-second reads, and I probably get about 15 or 20 of them in my inbox every morning. And I already know when I wake up, when I open up my thing, sometimes I'll stop and I'll say, Lord, I'm going to look through these, and it's going to take me like 10 minutes, but Lord, is there something you want to speak to me about today? Did you know there's been times in those mornings when I've been reading the devotions and I felt the Holy Spirit say, I need you to talk about this Sunday. And I've learned to recognize his voice. And I say, yes, Lord. See, God will speak. But you got to be open to the voice. Sometimes God speaks to us through spiritual gifts. By the way, this is a church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. I still believe God can give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy. Amen. And when you get that, you need to try the spirits, but then you need to go with the word of God. Amen. Did you know, I don't have time to talk about this, there were prophecies given to us over 30 years ago that we're just now starting to see come to pass. To God be the glory. Did you know sometimes the counselor speaks to us through conviction? Does anybody remember what that word is? See, that's that voice or feeling that we get that makes us aware of how our thoughts or our feelings or our actions have strayed from God's laws. I remember I said this in the first service. No joke, the first 10 years of my Christian walk, man, that was how the counselor spoke to me all the time. I mean, I was a hot mess. As a teenager, I mean, it was that conviction. Nope, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't think that. Don't act that way. Don't respond that way. That's not Christ-like. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Because he's still working on me. Jesus wants to carry our loads. Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I preached about this a few months ago. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I'm going to close with this. When I was studying this week, I had the strong impression, I feel like it was from the Holy Spirit, that I was supposed to close with the words of an old song. that were written by Becky Fender. Some of you will know who she is, others won't. I don't even know, she might have already passed away. I think this song was around when I was young. But it used to minister to me, and I pulled up the lyrics, and the song is called I Give You Jesus. I would encourage you to go home and Google that song, and there's several good versions of it out there. But I'm going to share the words with you. Are you ready? Why don't you stand with me all over this house? If you're able to stand. Here's the lyrics. If the ship of your life is tossing on the sea of strife, you need someone. And if you feel so all alone and your house is not a home, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair and there's no one left to share all those lonely days and nights and things just won't turn out right, and you need someone to care and someone to just be there, you need someone. I give you Jesus. He's the peace that passes all understanding. I give you Jesus. He's the perfect love that casteth out all fear. I give you Jesus. He's the water that you drink and never thirst again. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus. If the pressure's all around, keep your spirits to the ground. You need someone. If your body is in pain and your health you can't regain, you need someone. And if at times when you've tried with all the strength you had inside and it seems that you failed, remember, on the cross he nailed all the bitterness and grief to give you peace and sweet relief. He is that someone that you need. So I give you Jesus. He's the peace that passes all understanding. I give you Jesus. He's the perfect love that casteth out all fear. I give you Jesus. He's the water that you drink and you never thirst again. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus. So today they're going to get ready to sing. And I want to open up this altar to you. And I just feel like I'm supposed to tell somebody, I give you Jesus. He is the one who can heal every broken place of your life. And he'll use all the tools in his toolbox. I've already told you that. We just got to be open to hearing from the Lord. Sometimes it'll just be somebody laying their hand on your shoulder and praying a prayer of compassion and love. It might be an embrace, a hug. It might be a pat on the back. It might be a smile. It might be a word. Sometimes it's none of that. Sometimes it's just you kneeling at an altar and feeling the Holy Spirit wrap his arms around you and say, we've got this. We've got this. So I'm going to invite you to come. First of all, if you've not stepped across the line and accepted God, accepted the Lord into your life, that's where you need to start. Repent of your sins and believe that Jesus died for your sins. And allow him to begin a new walk in your life. That's where you need to begin. I give you Jesus, but you've got to accept him. After our first service, not only do people come to the altar and pray, we baptized two people after the first service today. You know what? People ready to move into that place. And so, but then for those of you who are already believers, you're already Christians, I want to encourage you today. Lord, be my counselor. Be my strength. And Lord, starting today, I open my deaf ears and I open my mind. God, I want you to speak. Help me to learn to listen. Would you come? Would you come? This altar is open right now. It's an opportunity for you to reconnect, for you to allow Jesus to be the primary source, the primary voice in your life. I need you, Lord, as my counselor. I believe. Would you come? Just step all the way forward. Let's make room for everybody. That's it. Just keep coming. Keep coming. That's it. I give you Jesus. Come on. He's the one. He's the one. He's the counselor. He's our strength. Lord, I thank you. I need you, Jesus.
You.
that can really change your life. I want you to, we're just going to pause for like 15 seconds, and I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to ask, Lord, what did I hear today that I need to work on this week? It doesn't have to be 10 things. It can be one thing. Just pause for a moment. Lord, what do I need to work on this week? Yes. See, that's how it works. Just a thought, just a word, just a nugget to help you grow. Amen? Amen, amen.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.